Our text this morning is Psalm 113. You will find this psalm on page 510 in the Bible in the chair in front of you. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning. Good morning. We can do better than that. Good morning. Good morning. All right. My name is Artist Love, and I'm so excited to be with you again. It was a joy the last time I came a year ago, and I'm so excited to be here. I just got back from a middle school camp with screaming middle schoolers, so I'm hyped up on caffeine, and I got to get ready for BVS this week. So I'm ready, I'm rowdy, and I'm ready to get to it. And this is a beautiful, beautiful psalm that we are looking at today. And I'm going to open us in prayer, then I'm going to have a trivia question for you. So get your brains ready as we go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we are so thankful that for this day that you have made, this sunny summer day here in Columbia. We're thankful that we're able to freely worship you, Lord, that we're able to freely come before your throne of grace, that you reach down to us, Lord, that we don't have to climb a ladder to you. Lord, you are a God that reveals yourself to us. So today we pray that you show yourself to us. Reveal your presence, Lord. Lord, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive. Less of you and more of me. Amen. Amen. All right, so I have a trivia question for you. There's something that we sing on certain days every year. What do you think that is? Anybody? Happy birthday. Who said it? Good. Great. Every year, across most cultures, we sing happy birthday. Why do we do that? It's not just a song, church. It's a celebration of the person's presence in our lives. We sing to recognize their existence and their value. Likewise, Psalm 113 is a song of praise, of celebration. It's part of a group of psalms known as the Egyptian Hallel. It's Psalms 113 to 118. They are sung by the Jewish people. These were songs of remembrance, praise, and liberation. Sung at the three feasts of which the Passover, Pentecost, and the Tabernacles, which were the feasts that the Jewish males were required to attend annually in Jerusalem. So guess what? Even Jesus Christ himself, as a Jewish man, would have sung these psalms during his time on earth. In fact, in Matthew 26:30, it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." That hymn was likely from this very group of psalms. So picture that. Psalm 113 is probably one of the last hymns that Jesus sang before he went to the cross for us. So today we're going to answer this question. Why is the name of the Lord to be praised? I got 3 points for you. Because there is no one like him. Because he raises the poor and needy. Then we're going to answer another question. How are we to praise the Lord? Point one, because there is no one like him. This psalm begins in verse 1, commanding the audience to praise the Lord. And then we also see who the audience is. The audience is the servants of the Lord. The writer of this psalm is addressing people who claim to be servants of the Lord. So that means us in this room. This is a summons to praise him, Charles Spurgeon would say, it is the loving homage of the committed. These first three verses of this psalm invite us into praise. But it's when we get to verse 4 we truly understand why. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. In this section, the psalmist turns to the reason we should praise God, from whom all blessings flow. D.A. Carson, theologian, would say, he is exalted over every people and every place, incomparably exalted, so transcendent that he must stoop even to see the heavens. His glory is the highest of all realities. His person is above all dignities. His omniscience embraces all creation. God is beyond all our comprehension. Above all nations, he is sovereign over all, not just the nations, but over all creations and every creature. Even those who do not acknowledge him, they don't understand that he is still their ruler. We get to verse 5, it says, who is like the Lord our God? Who is seated on high? Now the writer personalizes God. He is the writer's God. He is Israel's God, and he is your God. He is holy. He is set apart. There is nothing to compare him to. He is one of one. There is nothing like God. We have nothing that we can put in the same category as God. He is God. And the psalmist is trying to drill this truth into us. So for the Jewish men, when they sung this psalm and they praised his name each year at the Passover, they would remember who the God of their forefathers was. And they would be reminded of this power and glory. Now we today, in our social media driven age, we compare everything left and right. Like right now, we got the NBA finals going on. Everyone's asking the question, who's going to be the next LeBron or who's going to be the next Steph Curry? The NBA still can't figure that out. Or maybe we can go to music. Our biggest pop stars today are probably Taylor Swift and Beyonce. But here's the thing. New stars will come. They will be replaced one day, or they will be compared to the next generation as previous generations. There's always someone to compare them to. There's always someone coming along. Except for God, he has no equal. There's no one coming behind him. He is the one and only. So I got some questions for you. I want you to ask yourself, do I truly live like God is incomparable? Do you? Or do I put other things first? Maybe I put my career first. Money. Maybe students, kids. Maybe you put people's approval first. Your sport. Or your comfort on the same level as God. What competes for your worship? What steals your attention, your affection, or confidence away from God? I'm going to call you out to fast from these false gods that you have created. I want you to think right now, identify something in your life that tries to take God's place. And commit to just setting it aside this week and putting that time with God. Use that time to seek God in prayer, in scripture, and confess to him anything that is competing for first place. Yes, this is a comparison-driven culture. Yes, social media invites us to compare our lives to each other, our appearance to each other, our accomplishments. It even compares our beliefs. Resist that temptation to believe that there's a better option out there than God. Nothing else can save, satisfy, or sustain. Only he can. Because there is only one. One Lord of hosts. There is no one else in this category. We have our idols, but they fall short. And our culture may like to claim spirituality, but they don't claim this God that gives us his name, Yahweh, this God that reveals himself, this God that's personable, this God who is seated high but reaches low. This psalm reminds us of this one true God. So when we sing it, when we recite it, when we burst into praise, we remember that. Meditate on his attributes: holy, infinite, faithful, just, merciful, incomparable. This is why we praise him. Remember this. Remember that he is personal and he reveals himself to us. There is no authority that is seated higher than him. So we praise him for it. And also we praise him because he raises the poor and the needy. Look at verse 6. Who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? This high God who is infinitely greater than Superman humbles himself to care about what goes on here on earth. Why would such a mighty God care about us little creatures? Because he is rich in love and grace. Then we look at verse 7. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. Now, ash heap, or maybe dung hill, depending on your translation, literally means heaps of garbage and manure. An unsanitary place, symbolic of every sinful, sick, sad man and woman who are without the sin healing touch of Jesus Christ. And it can also be a symbol of mourning. God's fame exceeds that of any great celebrity or ruler, and yet he still desires to help us, even to lift us up from the ash heap in our filth. This psalm is literally directly quoting Hannah's prayer from 1 Samuel. Hannah, who was barren, who could not have children, who, when in this culture, if you cannot bear children, you are looked down upon. You're oftentimes, even the husband would divorce the wife. Hannah went before the Lord in her brokenness. Hannah had been needy, and he opened her womb. Man, he sees the poor and the needy. Then he bends down and he picks them up. And he doesn't stop there. Look at verse 8. To make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. And in verse 9, he gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. This God does not just lift up the poor and needy. He sits them with princes. Every one of us in this room at some point, we were slaves to sin, to guilt, and to shame. We were stuck in our own filth. So we stop and we praise him just for the second chance to give, and he gives new life. That's what he does for all of us. He gives us new life as his priestly people. He does so much more. He adopts us. Our God. I don't know about you, but there is no better option than that. Who wouldn't want to praise this God? He who is lifted high bends down low and raises up the poor, the needy, those who can do nothing for him. He needs nothing from them, yet he chooses to do so anyway. Who's a Narnia fan? We got some Narnia fans in here? Let's go. Love the Narnia, love C.S. Lewis. In the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, we hear the Narnians mention Aslan, who was the king, who was this lion, who was a representation of what God is supposed to be in this story. And there was a little song that Mr. Beaver would say, goes like this: wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. When he bares his teeth, winter meets its death. And when he shakes his mane, we shall have spring again. Mr. Weaver and the rest of the Narnians, they sang that song in the hope of liberation. Likewise, Psalm 113 is a song of liberation and hope. He reaches to lift us up. And if you ever thought you were a lost cause, know that there are no lost causes when it comes to God. He seeks the poor and the rejected. No one is too far gone to be redeemed by the Lord. Take a moment and find comfort in this. I don't know what your inner monologue with yourself has been, or maybe it's the thought of a family member, a friend. Maybe you have a child or a grandchild that has wandered off. He or she is not too far gone. No matter the situation, know that he who is seated high above cares. Then reflect on your own ash heap. Think back to a time when God lifted you from brokenness, shame, or despair. We've all had those moments. Think about it. Go back to it. Don't forget. Journal about what he did. Then thank him in prayer. And praise him in song. If you're musically inclined, just sing a joyful tune, you know, make a joyful noise. I can't sing, but I'm going to praise him. In the shower, I can sing. I think everybody can sing in the shower. Gratitude fuels praise. Then I want you to ask yourself this. Who are the needy in your life? Is there someone on the margins, ignored, hurting, isolated? Be God's hand and lift them up this week. A meal, a visit, a text could be the very encouragement they need. Serve with the heart of God. See the invisible. Value the undervalued. Use your words to lift people up. Encourage someone who's spiritually discouraged, emotionally drained, or just lonely. Students, you see someone sitting alone in the cafeteria, sit with them. Talk to them. Make a new friend. A text, a prayer, a compliment might be God's tool to raise someone from their ash heap. And pray like Hannah. Tell God your deepest needs and hurts and trust that he hears you. Ask him to lift you or someone you love from the ash heaps. You know, I love what Derek Kickner says in his commentary about this psalm. He says, nothing too great for him, no one too small. He overlooks no one. So humble yourself and call upon his name. Praise the name of the God who lifts up the needy and serve him. Think about this. Isn't that wonderful, church? That is the God that we get to serve. There is no one like him who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-holy, yet caring for small people. There's no ruler, there's no president, there's no one throughout history who does that like God. That is the beautiful thing about this King of Kings, this Lord of Hosts. And that's why we come to this last question. How are we, as his servants, to praise him? The answer to that is constantly and wholeheartedly. The psalm begins and ends with the same call, church. Praise the Lord. The Hebrew word for halal, which is the word for praise, means to shine or to radiate light. Praise reveals God's glory to the world. When we praise, his light shines through us. John Piper once said this, missions exist because worship doesn't. Our praise proclaims God to the nations. Praise makes God visible to others. When people see your joy and hear your thankfulness, they see the light of Christ. Think of someone in your life right now who doesn't know God. How can your praise make them curious about your faith? Make your praise missional. Your praise can make others curious. Next time someone asks you, why are you joyful? Give glory to God. Why right now can you smile? Why can you sing right now when you're hurting? When you're in pain? And just be honest, it's the grace of God. Give them credit. Let your praise be your testimony. When we look at verses 2 and 3, it shows us how to praise. At all times, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. In all places, from the rising of the sun to its setting, may the name of the Lord be praised. Praise is not seasonal or situational. It is the rhythm of the redeemed. We praise in the morning, at night, in joy, in sorrow, in the valleys and on the mountaintop. Start and end your day with praise. Even just 60 seconds in the morning to say, God, thank you for who you are and what you've done. That will reorient your day. Like I said, I'm bringing it up again. Are you or someone you know walking through a hard season? The elder said in the prayer earlier, someone's sister going through breast cancer. Is there someone you know, or maybe it's you? Maybe it's you in this room. You can still praise him because he's sustaining you in this season. You're not alone. He's not a far-off God. He's giving you his name. He's right there with you. Choose to praise in the trial, not because life is good, but because God is still good. That kind of praise is powerful and deeply Christ-like. And I'm not saying that it is easy. I'm not saying to pretend like you're not struggling. Don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? But I want you to know that you can still call upon the Lord. It may not, the season, the valley you're going through may not end tomorrow. It may be months, it may be a year. Maybe your marriage is going through some tough things. Maybe your kids are dealing with some things. Maybe high school sucks right now. Sometimes it sucks all 4 years, I don't know. But maybe middle school is really awkward for you, right? I don't know. But praise them. Maybe you got that one teacher that it's just so monotone, you know, and just awful. Not awful, but you know, there are teachers that are good and there are teachers that are eh. But praise the Lord even in the midst of that as you're struggling to get that A, to get out of that class. Church, make a praise list. Keep a journal or a note on your phone where you list what you're thankful for and what God has done. And then teach praise to the next generation, adults. If you got kids, grandkids, or youth in your life, model a life of worship. Teach them a memory verse like Psalm 113:3. Let them see you pray and praise so that they know who to turn to when life gets hard. Parents, your kids are watching you. They're watching what you're doing in those hard moments, in those hard seasons. You are their first model. So teach them to praise him, to call upon his name. This week, I got VBS this week, and this is the psalm that our theme psalm is verse 3 of this psalm. Letting them praise the name of the Lord. Model that. Let your life be shaped around praise. Speak of what he's done in your life. Speak of what he's done throughout redemptive history. Name his attributes. He is infinite. He is holy. He is most wise, omniscient. Celebrate his works and always call him by his name. And he gives us so many names, Yahweh, Adonai, Elohim, because he has revealed himself to us personally. He wants us to know him. He wants us to call out to him. And I know there are doubts. Maybe you're like, man, he's not concerned with what's going on in my little life. Yes, he is. He cares. Cast your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. And maybe you're doubting he he can or will do something, I assure you he will. Maybe not in the way you want, but he will. And that's worthy of praise. He will not let you down. He will fulfill his covenant promises. He is the most trustworthy thing in all existence. Church, Psalm 113 is not just an old hymn. It's our declaration of God's greatness, his mercy, and his worth. Psalm 113 shows us a high God who stoops low, who deserves our praise everywhere, always, and with everything we got. Even if it's not a lot, even if your tank is on E, Lord, this is all I got today. All I can do is say your name. I'm going to sing this one little worship song, and I'm asking for your help today. I got to go into the office today, and I'm just tired. Lord, I'm really tired. I got to get up this morning, and I have to care for these little ones that expect a lot from me, and today I'm just struggling. And that's okay. Church, live in awe of his greatness. Receive the lift of his mercy. And respond with wholehearted praise. There is no one like him. There is no better alternative. There is no soul too small or lost for his love. So, church, we go forth and we praise him. From the rising of the sun to its setting, we praise the name of the Lord. And now, before I close this sermon, I want to do something really quick. I want everyone to stand up. Stand up, stand up. We are going to a cappella sing the doxology again, okay? A cappella. I'm going to start us off, but y'all got to hurry up and jump in it because I can't sing, okay? All right, don't leave me hanging. All right, you ready? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Thank you, guys. So remember that, church. From the rising of the sun to its setting, praise the name of the Lord. Let us go before the Lord in prayer now. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are a Father who comes down and reaches down into our mess, into the pit of despair that we are in because of our sin. You do not neglect us. You do not overlook us. You do not cast us to the side, but you come down to rescue us, Lord. You come, you put on flesh and came into the filth. You bore our filth, Lord. You took our punishment on the cross and you made a way. And you clothed us in your righteousness. You give us the wedding garments to enter the feast, Lord. And Lord, I lift up to you all who are in the valley right now, because we're not always on the mountaintop. Be with us, Lord. Remind us of your truth and teach us to praise your glorious name. Amen.